All right. Well, hey, good morning. How we doing? Good. We got a good summer crew here, vacations in and out, and man, I'm excited. A lot of you have been talking about this series we're in Over Our Heads, and that's really what we're talking about, that we're in over our heads with God's love, and we're going through Jonah, and man, has Jonah been good or what? Do you guys like this book? All right, one of you like it, but I mean, I feel like this is just, it's a fresh word for us, this prophet that is supposed to get it, and he doesn't, and he makes mistake after mistake, and yet we see God's grace just fill his life and fill the lives of others around him. And so let's go. We're going to go to Jonah. It'll be up on the screen, and you can grab. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. You can grab one of those. You can take one home, and that's our gift to you. If not, so we're kind of in the, if you're not familiar, three-fourths way into the Bible. If you know where the New Testament is, go a few books to your left, and that's where Jonah's at. And so Jonah, to give us a little story, background where we're at, Jonah's this prophet that doesn't quite get it. And God tells him to go to Nineveh, to go and share the story about his love. And then what we see is the exact opposite happen. If we can pull up a map, what Jonah does, he goes opposite. He goes down into the city of Joppa, and then he flees off to Tarshish. And so he's going, God says, I want you to go east, and he goes west, farthest west possible. And he gets on this boat, and he just wants, God says to go this one direction, and he does the complete opposite. I feel like that's my story. God has told me time and time again what to do, and yet I go the opposite direction. God tells me to do this, and we do that, don't we? With our finances, God says, I want you to spend your money this way. I want you to be generous, and we either keep it to ourselves and spend it on ourselves. But we get into more and more, just like Jonah, when he ran from God, he got into a storm. And then he's talking to these sailors, and what I love about this, wherever you're at on your journey, whether you're just exploring who God is, or you've been a Christian for some time, I feel like this is all of our story. Because there's this scene, and this will be a recap for some, but there's a scene that Jonah's on the boat, and he's telling these sailors what's going on. The storm starts to happen, and they're like, why is this storm happening? They're crying out to their gods, lowercase g, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then they ask Jonah, and he gives this explanation. He says, well, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the God of the land and the sea. And he says, God created all of this, and by the way, I'm not listening to him. I'm ignoring him. And so the sailors are like, are you crazy? Here's the God who created the sea, and you're trying to get on a boat and avoid him? And there's this ironic little interaction where the sailors are just like, what are you doing? Are you a complete moron? Like, how could you run away from him? And that's where I feel like, no matter how much you know about the Bible, Jonah gave a theologically correct statement. God is the creator of the land and the sea. So his theology is on point, yet he knows it in his head, yet his feet were doing the exact opposite. Maybe that's some of us. That's been my story. I might know theologically how I should listen to God, yet my feet, my actions, actually do something far different. And so the sailors caught on to this. They said, what are you thinking? How could you ignore God? And I mean, think about that. If God created the heavens and the earth, he created all of this, might not he know a few things about this world? What about relationships? We know how God wants us, God calls us to honor him and who we love and how we give use the gifts that God's given us. Yet we say, no, maybe I want to sleep with whoever I want. And God says, I want you to go this way. No, God, I'm going to do this. I want you to wait for marriage. No, I want it now. Or God, God calls us to forgive and to be kind to people. They hurt me bad, God. I don't want to listen to them. And so we hold grudges. We do the exact opposite of what God wants us to do. Yet here's a fresh word for us this morning. chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Today we're going to talk about that God is a God of second chances. In chapter 1, God already came to Jonah and he told him what to do. He said, Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and I want you to tell them what they're doing. And a little background of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And Assyria, the Assyrian Empire, just a great empire, where we would find it now on the map, it's northern Iraq and where Mosul would be. And so you can look on the map, that's where Nineveh was, just this great city. You'll see later on in the verses. But it's this large city, but it has all sorts of problems. There's prostitution, there's slave trading, there's I said prostitution already, it was bad. But, I mean, they were treating individuals just like objects, and they were selling them, and with children, and not paying people fair wages, child labor. There's all sorts of corruption just so people can make a few bucks in the city. And what you see here, God goes to Jonah and says, I want you to tell them what they're doing is wrong so they could turn and receive my love. Jonah, we come to learn, is this overly patriotic prophet that says, I don't want them to turn. I want them to receive the punishment they deserve. Because there's an aspect in where what Jonah's heart is, there's an aspect that's right and there's an aspect that's completely wrong. The part that's right is God hates wickedness. And we should too, right? There's in society we say, well, just do what you want, but we should never be okay with children being sold. We should never be okay with these type of actions that go on. And God says, hey, I know something. I created the whole universe. Would you listen to me? You're actually causing more destruction in your life. You're trying to earn a few bucks, but you're destroying these kids' lives. You're destroying other people's lives. And so he says, would you listen to me? And he wants us to turn from our ways, our wicked ways, and to trust God and say, to listen to what he says. So God tells Jonah in chapter 1, go do this. Go tell this city that they're to turn. He doesn't listen, but God comes to him a second time. And don't we need a second chance? If you're taking notes at the top, take two. Just short and sweet. Take two. That you and I, we need a second chance. And so sometimes we have to go to God and say, all right, God, take two. But you know what the beauty of this story is? God, right here, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God comes to us in our mistakes. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah had made a terrible mistake, not listening to the God of the universe. And the God of the universe comes to him. That's good news. That's what we get to experience. But we need these second chances, don't we? I mean, think about some famous stories of people that have gotten great second chances. There was this one basketball player who's now a great basketball player, one of the greatest ever, and he got cut from his high school team. Do you guys know this guy? Maybe you've seen him. Michael Jordan. He was cut from his high school basketball team. I don't know what world my wife's, I'm throwing her under the bus. I don't know what world she's living in. She didn't hear this story. Some of you haven't heard this either, and that's all right. But she was like, Michael Jordan got cut from his basketball, high school basketball. She was like, how is that possible? And I'm like, I know. So we do these. We make mistakes. Things happen. The coach made a mistake, or maybe he just wasn't playing as well, but he was given a second chance. There was another student who, in his early age, he was going into school, and he was told by a teacher that he just should rely on his personality because his brains weren't all too good. You guys might know this guy. He invented a few things. Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was told by his teachers that he should rely on his personality. One other guy, local guy that we know about, he was working for a newspaper in Kansas. We got some Kansas people right here, out here. And he was working for this newspaper, and he was told he didn't have good ideas, and he didn't use his imagination. You know this guy. Walt Disney. Walt Disney was told he doesn't have a good imagination. That's incredible. We need second chances, don't we? What if these people listened to these voices and just said, well, you know what? You are a failure. You're never going to amount to anything. Think about this. We have even greater second chance offered. We've made mistakes in our lives, and yet there's a God that comes to us a second time. And not only a second time, we know if you're going to come back next week, Jonah makes more mistakes. God continues to come back. So forget take two, take 1,000. Scratch that out in your notes. Take 1,000. Know that God is going to come time and time again. Not that we trample on his grace. Never trample on his grace. But when you find yourself stumbling, know that God comes again. What God calls us to honor him and to obey him, but know that God graciously forgives for all that come to him. So here's the second thing I want us to keep going. So as the story continues, and God says, verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. He did what God told him to do. He was going one direction, he ran away, and now he's doing what God told him to do. And so here's what he's called to do, and I want us, if we're taking notes, that we are called, if God's a God of second chances, that we are to speak the truth and lovingly give others a second chance. Because God tells Jonah, I'm going to give you a word. And so what we need to do, just as Jonah did, is to speak the truth and lovingly give others a second chance. You know, in the New Testament, we find that, because I'm not so sure how loving Jonah was necessarily. Because as Jonah comes in here, what we see in the story, he goes in, he goes into the city. Let me keep reading and I'll explain this. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. Remember, the Assyrian capital. It took 3 days to go through it. Not that it would take 3 physical days to walk through it, yet what we find that Jonah would stop, and there was an actual day journey, and so they would stop after several thousand feet, and what Jonah's doing, he's probably going market to market, sharing with anybody, house to house, door to door, sharing in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And so it what's so interesting about his message, he leaves out a few components. He doesn't really tell them how to repent. He doesn't tell them he fails to mention God. And so here you have this prophet, and you see that it's probably by no mistake. There's other stories in the Bible where there's no mention of God in certain cases, and they're doing it to show an error. Remember this, as we look at, and this is what I love about the Bible. It's here you have this prophet. Sometimes what we do incorrectly in sermons and teaching, we say, oh, here's this prophet, try and be like him. But the reality is, God shows us a guy like Jonah and saying, hey, here's somebody that didn't get it. He doesn't have all the answers. He didn't do things perfectly, yet there's a God who does, and there's a God who intervenes, who comes a second time. And we'll get to more of that in just a moment. But that's what you see. Jonah doesn't even necessarily give the best word. And we know, but so in 2 Timothy 2:25 says this. We'll pull it up on the screen. Paul is writing this. Paul, the apostle who has written so much of the scriptures, he's training up a young pastor named Timothy. And Timothy, as he's reporting to him, he's giving him tips how to pastor. And he says this. Notice the first word he says, gently. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. So those who disagree with God, those that say, I can do things my way, not God's way. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Our call is not to let society, not to let ourselves live however we want. Our call is to point people to a better way, but to do so with love, do so with grace and truth. Maybe even approaching other people, sharing, not, oh, this is how you're doing things wrong. A few of my buddies growing up, we watched this YouTube video. It was this video where these young students would go into like, you know, kind of rough areas, and they would ask somebody. So this guy would ask somebody, and he would say, "Excuse me," he goes, "how do I get to the subway?" This person over here was front. "Oh, you go down this direction, you go over here." And then after that, somebody would be kind and tell them directions, they would get in their face and be like, "But don't tell me what to do." And the people would be like, "What? You just asked me for directions." And so then they would go, "Okay, oh, I'm sorry, but okay, go ahead, tell me how to get to the subway." They would tell them again, and then they would be like, "Don't tell me what to do." And you see these people just get mad, and it's so ironic because they're telling me, "Hey, I'm telling you, don't tell me what to do." And you just see the people like, "Don't tell me what to do." We don't like to be told what to do, right? And there's something inside of us that just gets mad when someone tells us what to do. Yet, we're often called, God calls us to instruct people to a greater way. So who do you maybe have in your life that you need to lovingly urge them? Maybe they're making a mess of their life. And it's sometimes difficult to have that conversation with someone, isn't it? Maybe it's a friend, a relative, and they're throwing their life away, and you know that they need God. You know that they need some help. So who is it that maybe in your life you need to have a conversation with? But let me say this, as Paul said, gently. Don't go like Jonah. Jonah doesn't have it all figured out. Maybe you need to go saying, "You know what? I know a God that gives second chances, and let me tell you, I'm the first one that needs it." What if you began to tell your story, just like Jonah shared some of his mistakes? We get to hear about some of his failures. The Bible is full of failures, full of them. The disciples, people that walked with Jesus, the best of the best, failures. Yet there's a God who oversees all of it and is in control. And so what if you go to others and say, "You know what? I see you're struggling with this. I've struggled with this. I've struggled with that. And more, God has shown me, has given me second chances." You have a story to share with others, how your life has been transformed. And God calls you to share that with other people, no matter how difficult it is. And trust me, I know, because as sometimes a pastor, there's certain topics that people love to hear and we want to receive. And then sometimes topics like this, where as a pastor I have to say, "Hey, there's certain ways we shouldn't be living." And that's not always easy to receive. And so I can relate with Jonah. Sometimes it's difficult to give someone a word, isn't it? To have somebody change their path, to correct somebody. It's not easy. Yet what God calls us to do is to call people to a higher way of living. He calls us to instruct them. And notice this. Let's keep going in this text. Here's what I love about it. Jonah's sermon isn't perfect. You might say, "Well, Rob, I'm not a pastor. I don't preach. I don't know how to share these other things." Jonah didn't get the sermon perfectly, yet look what happens. Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. That's verse 5. Sackcloth was this, they would put on, like, you know, sackcloth and burlap and different ways, and they would show that it was a sign, it was symbolism of the time to show that they were repentant. And repentance is simply, God calls me to go this way, I've gone this way, and now I'm turning. What it's not, sometimes we can think an over-religious, just, "Oh, I'm so terrible, God needs to punish me." It's not that. It's realizing, "You know what, I'm choosing this way, and this thing I'm caught up on." We've talked about, what are your hurts, what are your habits, what are your hang-ups? What are you maybe addicted to that's pulling you away from God? You know it's causing destruction in your life. And God says, "I want you to let that go. I want you to leave it, and I want you to follow me." What is that in your life that you need to turn from? Because here's how it goes in this. Jonah doesn't give the perfect message, yet all of a sudden, everyone starts to believe. Everybody starts to turn away from their destructive ways and begins to follow God. I mean, look at this. It keeps going on. Verse 6, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, So here's the king of the city of the capital. He rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, he says this: do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone, and I want us to key in on this verse, let everyone call urgently on God. Let everyone call urgently on God. If you're taking notes, the third one, call urgently to God who gives second chances. God gives second chances, and just as the Ninevites, the king declares, the people called urgently to God. Don't delay. Maybe you think there's a friend that needs to hear this message, and, well, I'll tell them another time. Or maybe you're struggling with this, and I'll kick this habit another day. I'll leave this habit another day. Well, it's just, I could quit if I want to, right? I love drinking coffee, and I'm always talking with people, and they're, you know, there's a habit forming of coffee. Now that I'm saying, coffee's not one of these. Coffee's, right, nice, okay? But I just heard someone say it yesterday. It's like, I could stop coffee, but I just like the way it tastes, right? And I could quit if I really wanted to. But that's kind of the blindness of habits. They cover our eyes. Because really, if I'm honest about coffee, it tastes like dirt, right? It's an acquired taste, but somehow now something that tastes like dirt, I love. And it's just like, oh, coffee. It's always smelling in here. Our baristas out here are always killing it. Love our baristas. Come on. So, but what happens when we disobey God? I got sidetracked on coffee, so got to bring it back. God calls us to follow him. We get caught up in these things, and we get our blinders on. But God calls us to urgently, do not delay, call on God. The God who gives second chances, he's telling you to drop your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups, these things that are getting you stuck, and to call on him. Because look what continues to happen here. Continues in verse 9. So, I mean, even before this, it's so ironic, this scene's being set up. The king's saying, have everyone go in sackcloth. Even animals. So the king's just saying, the whole city needs to be transformed. The whole city needs to repent. Make a U-turn. You're focusing on this? Turn back to God. And so it continues this. He says this in verse 9, the king. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. He says, who knows? Maybe God will forgive us. Because don't we long for second chances? Aren't our communities longing for second chances? You know, as I was looking up those stories about all of these people with famous people and second chances, there was one story of another man who had delayed, and just a warning, I'm kind of setting you up here. I'll explain in a second. He had delayed speech up until he was about 4 years old. And he had all sorts of speech impediments and didn't read and didn't write to 4, some say 5 and 6. And you know this guy. Have you seen him before? You have it? Albert Einstein. Yet the reality, when I started to do a little more research, because I wondered, is this just urban legend? And as I started to dig and they found pictures and they found actual pictures of him writing at 2 and his grandparents, and they found there was some note that his mom said his speech was delayed, and it was just an over-worried mom. And yet that got dragged out from maybe 1.5 to all of a sudden legends 2 years, now 3 years and 4 years. Why? All of a sudden this legend grows. Oh yeah, he didn't speak till he's 12. And he's so brilliant. Because there's something inside of you and me that says we realize we've made a mess of our lives. We've made some mistakes, and there's still hope for us. See, Albert Einstein wasn't able to read till he's 4. There's still hope. There's still hope for my kid. There's still hope for myself. I haven't got everything figured out. I'm going to be okay. I'll be an Albert Einstein. We're grabbing for these things in our lives, and yet they fall short. We want something like that. Yet there's good news that we have. There's, in fact, great news. So just the other day, I was at a wedding, and I'm walking to the wedding and get there just in time. And so I get there and come to find out that the wedding's a little behind. So I'm like, oh, speaking of coffee, I was like, I left my iced coffee in the car. So we got there just like 3:55. It's 4:00. I found out it's going to be a little behind. So I'm like, great. I was like telling Jamie, I'm like, I'm going back to the car. She's like, don't do that. And I'm like, I got to go. So I run back to the car. I'm like, I'll make it back in time. And I go there, and sure enough, I had already given her the keys. So I'm just like staring at my car. The coffee's in there. And I'm just like, ah. So then I'm like, fine, give up my coffee, like run back because the parking lot's far. I get there, and I'm just like, oh, you know, in a suit, hot. And they're like, well, actually, the wedding's going to start half an hour, 45 minutes late. The musician, the violinist, isn't here yet. So I'm like, great, give me those keys, you know. And I love weddings. Like, I love just saying hi to people. Everyone's happy, and everyone's having a good time. And as I'm walking out, I see this lady approaching, and I'm just like, you know, smile and say hi. And she kind of gives me this, you know, I'm like, okay, like, hi, how you doing? She's just kind of like, ugh. And then I was like, oh, she was rushing to the wedding. She didn't have the same information I did. She thought she was 10, 15 minutes late to the wedding. And so she was too stressed to even, like, look at me. Just kind of, I said hi, and she was kind of like, ugh, like, you're done. You know, I'm like, whoa. And yet she didn't have the same knowledge that I did. I knew there was an extension on time. She was behaving like, oh, I got to get this together. And she was stressing about this. And it was so funny, later on as I passed, when she found out, I saw her go back to the car and then come back. We all need a second chance, don't we? We're grabbing for things, and they don't pan out. Yet God says, I have this wealth of love and grace. And in fact, you're looking for a second chance on this earth, but I'm giving you an ultimate second chance. You failed at this life. That's what the scriptures say, that all of us don't pass the test, that we've all failed. And yet Jesus was sent to this earth. He died on the cross so that you and I could have a second chance. Jesus did what we couldn't do. Jesus lived that perfect life. He lived it in our place so that you and I could have a second chance, so that we could have life. And that's the true hope that you and I have to cry out to. We have to cry out, cry urgently on a God who can resolve it. We can point other people to him in love and truth, point people to this God. And lastly, on that last line, if you could, that we would expect our communities to be transformed by a second chance. Listen to this in verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So that we would expect our communities to be transformed by a second chance. God called the city of Nineveh, this big, giant capital. I mean, think LA. Think if LA was transformed, San Francisco, what the major metropolises of our day. Imagine a whole city transformed. And you know what's so interesting about Jonah's words? He says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. Do you know that word overturned actually can mean in Hebrew, it's destruction. It brings, you know, bad things to happen, but it can also mean transformation. In 40 days, Nineveh will be transformed. Jonah didn't even know this was going to happen. Jonah wanted to see the destruction in Nineveh. He wanted them to get what they deserve. Do you have that harbored in your heart? Are you maybe hoping that people that are disobeying God, do you want them to get what they deserve? Yet what this message Jonah brings, imperfect as it is, God uses it, and the whole city of Nineveh is transformed. It's overthrown. It's overturned. And how? They were hung up on this, and now their life was overthrown, transformed, and now they were with the God of the universe, the God who created them, the God that knows best, and the God that has their best intention in mind, and that's to follow him and to be with him, to now have a new purpose and a new meaning. And it's leaving the old behind and following him for the new. This God wants to transform. He transformed Nineveh's lives, and he wants to transform your lives, and he wants to transform our city. Will you share that message? Will you help us bring it, not just simply telling people, but bringing it as we have food deliveries around here, if we're meeting the needs in our community, our students, our little ones, our fifth and sixth graders are going away to camp this afternoon. We're praying that this community would continue to know about God's love in every corner, every home, that they would hear there's a God of second chances. We're grasping for these stories, like these Einstein stories. Yet there's one true story of a God who came a second time. Would you receive that, maybe that invitation for the first time, or maybe you would share that with others? Would you pray with me? God, maybe it's a time for us to stop right now. Maybe we're grasping for these stories, or maybe we're so caught up in the habits that we've thought we figured out how to live our lives. And Lord, maybe we've rationalized and even figured out ways to ignore you, God, and put doubts in our, have doubts in our faith because simply we want to do what we want to do. Lord, may this be a moment right now. Maybe that we would stop and say, God, I'm tired of running. Lord, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to begin to follow you. Lord, may you overthrow my life. Lord, may I be in over my head of your love because I need one, two, I need 1,000 chances, Lord. Lord, I need forgiveness. Would we pray that here this morning? God, I need you. I trust that your son died in my place and that you lived a perfect life, a life that I could not live. And Lord, that I would have a new life, a new beginning. May that new beginning be here today. Or maybe it's a decision we need to make. Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you that you call us and you come to us, that you are a God of second chances. We love you and we praise you. Amen. As we continue to worship, there's a few of us in our community last week that realized we talked about being in over our heads, that baptism, that we talked about being baptized as a symbolism of being buried in our old ways, if you will. Death to this, to be dunked underwater and raised up a new life. That symbolism, there's a few that want to take that step, and I encourage you, if you want to get baptized, talk to me, talk to one of the pastors, let us know. Next week we're going to have some baptisms and celebrating that U-turn. I was stuck in this way, and God, I want to begin following you. Maybe you would pray about that and think about that decision that you might make. Let's continue to worship.